From Jefferson Public Radio, I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another JPR Live session. JPR Live sessions are recorded with Audix microphones. Audix, when sound matters. My guests today are in town for a sold-out One World show tonight at the SOU Music Recital Hall. We're thrilled to have them. Bela Fleck, Abigail Washburn, hello and welcome to you both.
Hello.
Hi, thanks.
And
I should say, Bela, welcome back. You were here many years ago when we were in our old location, but we're thrilled to have you in this studio finally.
My pleasure. This place is awesome.
It's better with you guys in it. Let me just say that right off the top. It is much better filled with the sound of music. Bela, when you were last here, we talked a bit of your background, but Abigail, being that this is your first visit, a little background on you. You were originally from the Midwest, Illinois, right?
That's right. I was born in Evanston, Illinois, and my dad got on the train of getting better jobs in different cities, so we moved to Maryland not long after I was born, around 3.5 years old. And I grew up in Gaithersburg, Maryland until the 8th grade. And then during that very trying year of youth, we moved to Minnesota. And I started going to school in a suburban Minneapolis school.
How did you find banjo? Or how did banjo find you?
I discovered China. When I was in college, and it became my major. I was at the Colorado College, and I got really obsessed with it and ended up going to China a number of times. And at some point, I decided I was going to spend the rest of my life somehow serving the relationship between U.S. and China culturally and possibly even in other ways, through diplomacy or law or something like that. It just became very clear to me that that would be my life's work. And I originally thought it would be law that I would go into, actually, environment or human rights. I wasn't sure what at the time because I was only 21. But I applied to law school in Beijing and I got in and I was going to go. And that same summer, I decided to start playing the old-time banjo because I heard that music being played in college, and I was dating a guy who was in a bluegrass band, and I heard Doc Watson being played on a record player at a party one afternoon after mowing grass all day for the university. And I just fell in love with that sound, and I thought to myself, this would be a really neat thing to take to China with me to share with people, because they're really into learning about other cultures. And people would often ask me in China, like, what, you know, Meiguo Wanhua Shi Shuma, what is American culture, you know? And I wouldn't have a good answer. And when I heard that music of Doc Watson, I felt that that was a music that I thought was so beautiful and so connected to the basic makeup of America, what America is now, which is this combination of so many cultures, not just the immigrants who came in from Ireland and Scotland and the white people, but the banjo that came from Africa and the sounds of our indigenous families and communities that also had an impact on this music. And I just thought, what a beautiful thing to be able to take this to China and share with them this piece of American culture that opened my eyes so much to my own native country.
I would love to talk more in depth about how you each have been able to take these instruments and merge them with the sounds of other corners of the globe. Abigail, you in the Far East, and Bela, you and the work that you did recording African musicians and integrating banjo back, I suppose, back into the music of Africa. I'd love to hear a tune first. What do you guys want to play first for us today?
Yeah, how do you feel about a banjo tune?
That would be okay.
All right, let's do that.
I'm going to play the style that I play, which is clawhammer style, which is more closely connected, I suppose you could say, to the original styles of playing that came from the accounting players of Gambia over on the slave ships to America. And if you see people in the Jata family, for example, in the Gambia, I learned this from looking at Bela's documentary called Throw Down Your Heart about going to Africa and playing with musicians. I watched the Jata, a member of the Jata family, just playing their accounting, and it looked exactly like how I play my banjo, and it's directly derived from there. And Bela,
I'm more of an Earl Scruggs disciple, and his three-finger style is what turned me on, and then there's been a bunch of people growing that style in all kinds of directions, and I guess I'm one of them. And we're going to play a piece that's our adaptation of Wagner's Ring Cycle, which is about 4 hours long, so we'll hang tight, everybody. It's going to be a long ride.
Okay. This is Bela Fleck and Abigail Washburn playing live at Jefferson Public Radio. Thank you. That is Bela Fleck and Abigail Washburn live here on Jefferson Public Radio, a medley of tunes from their latest release as a duo called Echo in the Valley. Out in 2017 on Rounder Records, information can be found at either of their websites, belafleck.com, abigailwashburn.com. Can we just let that settle in for just a minute before we keep chatting? That was fantastic.
Thank you.
Fantastic. This is the best part of any workday. Let me tell you, that was awesome. Bela Fleck, Abigail Washburn are in town for a sold-out show tonight at the SOU Music Recital Hall as part of our One World series. I want to ask you about your origin story, the two of you together. It's kind of a mind-blowing thought to think that Abigail Washburn, Bela Fleck, two amazing banjo players, have merged their lives and are now making music together. How'd you first meet?
You're silly.
Mind-blowing.
Yeah.
How did we meet?
No. It was actually at a square dance.
It's true.
Like a legitimate square dance?
A legit square dance.
Legitimate. Like I would love to see a non-legitimate square dance.
Yeah, it wasn't one of those like... square dances, if you know what I'm saying.
No.
It was strictly legit. So, yeah. But yeah.
And it was just a brief meeting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was playing banjo and I was dancing. And then as the years went by, we ended up just knowing one another and liking one another, and then
but we were in other relationships, and then one day I found out Abby was out of her relationship, and I stalked her.
It was so creepy.
It was very bizarre. I can't explain it.
It was so creepy.
I never thought about her that way before, but she was an example of the kind of people that were out there that I thought, wow, you need to be with someone like that. But then all of a sudden, she herself became free, and so I was like, wow, I should really try to see if I can convince her to give me the time of the day. And it took a while. Still working on it. But she had to definitely check in with some friends to find out whether I was a weirdo and things like that.
You did frequent square dances, so there's that.
Yeah.
Well, I frequented square dances. He didn't.
That was the only... first and only square dance I've ever gone to in Nashville, and I went there to play in the band.
Mm-hmm.
And but I dug some square dancing when I lived in Massachusetts after I left New York City and moved up there. There was a great contra dance scene up there, and it was really it was just a cool thing to go do. And I also liked the music a lot.
And our wedding was a square dance, by the way.
Oh, right on.
So, yeah. You we're weird. We're just all weirdos, all of us.
That's okay.
Yeah, we're nerds.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Extreme.
You mentioned before the tune your different styles of playing. Bela, three-finger style. Abigail, you do clawhammer. Is it challenging to merge them, or because they're different, does it work better putting them together?
I think it's better, honestly, but it's a road less traveled. There isn't a lot of history of it. In fact, the only times, I've only done it like twice with other clawhammer players. One's my good friend Mark Schatz, who asked me to play on a couple of tracks for him over the years where he played clawhammer, and the other was with Merle Watson on the Doc Watson record. And I was really surprised. They said, let's have both of you play. He'll clawhammer and you play three finger. And I was kind of, oh man, I want to be the banjo player on this Doc Watson record. You know, I didn't want, but then when we got into it, I was like, this really works. There's absolutely as cool as it could be. So I was always open to the idea. And then Abby and I became a couple, started hanging out together, and at Christmas, Christmas time, we'd be with her family, and her grandmother one day said, you're musicians, play something for us. We're like, well, we don't really play together. She said, that's ridiculous. You're both musicians, play something for us. So we started playing something just around the house for, over the holidays for the family, and we're surprised at how well it worked. It was like, I'd been listening to Abby's music the whole time. I was a big fan of what she was doing, but it never had occurred to me that we would be playing together. That wasn't really the nature of the relationship. It wasn't what we were in it for. But then one day she said, I've booked a gig for you guys at my church, and you guys are going to be performing at my church. And so we were like, nobody says no to grandma. Uh-huh. So we just put it on the books, and we didn't think about it too much. And the day before, it was like, oh gosh, we're doing a gig tomorrow. We better figure out how to play together.
Yeah.
And we basically threw it together without thinking too much about it. And then we did this show, and we discovered, to our surprise, that the music was fine. But what was amazing was that we had a very natural stage rapport together. Mm-hmm. And I don't have that with that many people. Like I'm the one that doesn't say anything generally. So it was a unique sort of situation to find that we were funny. With no rehearsal.
We thought we were funny. At least.
Yeah, people laughed, and we had a great time, and we finished up, and we were like, wow, this is fun. We should do this someday.
Yeah, it was fun. It really surprised us how much fun we had together on stage.
Yeah.
Now, with
yeah.
as many years as have now gone by, undoubtedly hours and hours of the two of you, the way you are right now, just facing one another, each with an instrument in hand, have you made each other better players, better musicians?
I think so,
yeah.
I mean, better technicians of the banjo because of the skills the other brings to the duo?
I don't know about technician. For me, perhaps, there's a bit of just facility I've gained because of the things Bela's music requires. Mm. And also just being a good partner to him in terms of trying to lay down rhythm tracks or whatever for certain things he's doing. So yeah, I think I have become a better technician just because of what raising myself to Bela's music means. But I think there's more to it. You know, there's just the holistic part of a musician where there's the thinking about melody and harmony and lyric and connection to community and humanity. And I think we both have done a lot for each other on all of those fronts.
Yeah, for me it's not as much technical, it's more sort of broad musical growth in terms of what matters, like what's important and what's worth playing and how important is all this fancy stuff that I do. Like there, it should serve some kind of a greater purpose. So like on that last tune, I'm playing a lower banjo. That's one of the, you're asking how we get these different banjos to work together and if it's ever a positive. But I found that I really love being the second instrument that is supportive of Abby's banjo and vocal. So sometimes I'm playing a cello banjo or a baritone banjo that's down low and I can get under, we can make a sound. But also when I'm the high banjo, which is plenty of the time as well, trying to think in a really melodic way and not relying on the things that get applause, for instance, in my playing when I play with the Flecktones or a bluegrass band and having to like, no, you're not going to do that. You're going to find a musical solution for the whole song. And so a lot of times it means every verse, every chorus has a different arrangement. And there's a lot of things that we arrive at over the course of playing a piece for now years. But the trickiest thing about it is that we have a different time feel in our basic souls. Like, and Abby's coming from more of an old time groove, which is trancy and relaxed. And I come from a bluegrass groove, which is almost always rushing. And it's part of its charm. you hope it doesn't rush too much.
Yeah.
If it's not rushing too much, you call it drive. If it goes rushing too much, then it's rushing and it's not pleasant. But you're looking for that magic place on the edge of the pin where you're pushing the music forward, and that's what's exciting about bluegrass. So trying to get those two instruments to marry that way and find I have to relax and she has to push sometimes to find that mm-hmm. golden spot where all of a sudden it's percolating and everything is easy and it's just flowing.
Because we both are laying down so many 16th notes that it could sound really jangly and messy.
Right.
So looking for that clean space where you can feel those tiny pockets in between each note, and there's like it's like taking a ride, you know, going over a waterfall or down a river. That's what we're looking for.
A lot of rippling. And if the ripples don't line up, it's kind of a drag. And when they start to line
it's
up,
it's a total drag.
It's really exciting.
Bring on the banjo jokes if they don't line up.
Then they're deserved.
I know each of you has a new project coming relatively soon, and they are vastly different from one another. I can't wait to talk about those. Bela Fleck, Abigail Washburn are my guests live in the studio today. Their newest duo record came out in 2017 on Rounder Records. It's called Echo in the Valley. Will you play us something else?
Yeah, we'd love to. This is we've talked quite a bit about how I play clawhammer and Bela plays more of a three-finger inspired approach, and the tradition that I identify with is largely known as old time music, and Bela's could be anything, honestly, but more connected to bluegrass music. And there aren't that many songs. People don't know this, but probably a lot of people in the Ashland community know this, but there isn't a whole lot of repertoire that's shared between those two worlds of music, even though they're closely connected. But there are some songs, and this is one of them. And this is called My Home's Across the Blue Ridge Mountains, and it's been sung for a very long time. And we're going to do a version of it now.
And we were messing with it. We were fooling around with it one day at a sound check. Abby was starting to sing sort of a bluesy sort of thing.
As a joke, honestly.
It was a joke. We were messing around.
I was trying to be silly.
Like, let's do it. And it wasn't even serious. But I recorded it on my phone because I thought it sounded cool, and I kept track of it. And it occurred to us that it was truer to what the song is actually. It's actually a very sad song, you know, about despair and missing your homeland. And we found a way to play it that sort of took that joke and made it serious.
Because the song is usually done in a very upbeat, kind of, you know, perky, bluegrassy drive.
Let's hear it.
So we're going to kick back a little here. This is called My Home's Across the Blue Ridge Mountains. Thank you.
That is Bela Fleck and Abigail Washburn. They're playing live today in the Steve Nelson Performance Space here at Jefferson Public Radio, in town for a sold-out show tonight at the SOU Music Recital Hall as part of the One World series. Their latest duo album is called Echo in the Valley. That one came out on Rounder Records in 2017. So I mentioned just before that performance that each of you has a new project coming soon. Abigail, yours is with an artist named Wu Fei.
That correct?
And this is someone that you have worked with before, right?
Yes, she and I have been friends since 2006, and she lived in Beijing for a number of years. She's from Beijing, but came to America to go to music school, I guess you could say, at University of Texas, Northern Texas.
And is she a singer or a performer?
Oh, she's an amazing guzheng player and composer.
And what is that?
A guzheng is a 21-string zither, and it's beautiful. And you know, it's like used a lot in like kung fu movies or massage music here in America. So if you hear that, like, which I feel like people in Ashland would understand, like it's like that sound when you're laying there and somebody's working on a knot under your, you know, whatever.
Keep it clean.
Thoracic.
Around your thoracic. And all of a sudden you hear like, that would be it.
And then are you singing?
But she's a master of it. She's incredible. And she and I, so I play banjo. It's a banjo guzheng duo record.
Okay.
And she sings and I sing. And we have mostly the record is weaving together old songs or traditional songs, folk songs from America and China with some original composing to sort of tie it all together. And it's just our names. That's Wu Fei and Abigail Washburn. It's coming out on Smithsonian Folkways Records. And Bela
do you know when? Because I
basement. Do. Oh, April 3rd.
Yeah,
April 3rd. Yeah, aren't you proud of me?
Can I say a couple of things about it?
You can.
Just for the heck of it. I think it's an amazing record. I'm a fan of both of these ladies.
Thanks, honey.
What's really cool, thank you for thanking me. I'll thank you for thanking me later. But so at any rate, what I think is amazing about it is that they've found these Chinese traditional songs and these American traditional songs and found ways to weave them together. And it almost feels like they were meant to be that way. Some of these pieces feel like they're counterpoints. And it's at a time when, you know, China and United States relations are stretched thin and tough. So it's, I think it's just a very positive thing at the right time where we're just letting that all go and we're not thinking about any of that. And we're just sharing our musical culture and finding ways that they can weave together and make a beautiful sound. Mm. And I'm really proud of the record the girls made.
Thanks. And then, Bela, your new project is coming out, I think, the week before, March 27th, which is a repackaging and a release of some additional material from a project that goes back about 10 years now, a trip you took to Africa for Throw Down Your Heart. And there is a longer version of a documentary film and a more expansive audio collection that's being released in celebration of Rounder Records' anniversary, if I understand all of it correctly.
That is not exactly what this is, but that's close. And what it is when I went over there basically to study the origins of the banjo and to jam with the great musicians of East and West Africa, we recorded a lot more than we can put out on one record. And we put out the first Throw Down Your Heart CD on Rounder. And a year later, I put out the additional music that was from that trip because I couldn't stand it not to come out. And we just put it out. I basically put it out myself, although it could be bought in a few places. And it was legally out as a record, which meant that it could win a Grammy. So both of those albums won Grammys for Best World Music Record. And then the film had come out, and we also had about an hour of extra footage that couldn't make the film. It didn't make a good story with all that footage in it, but it was great music, and it was great stuff to look at. So here... I made these licensing deals both with the film company that put out the movie and the label that it would come back to me in 10 years. So all of a sudden, bam, I'm it.
Gotcha.
And it's like I'm responsible for finding a way to get this stuff back out. And it seemed like the perfect time to release this recording that I had made with Tumani Jabate, who's one of the world's great musicians, great instrumentalists, plays the kora, which is an African harp, a Malian harp.
And this was a live concert that you were captured in.
Yeah, so basically after, when I was in Africa and in Bamako, in Mali, Tumani was not there. He was out touring, and he regretted not being on the record. And when I ran into him, he said, I wish I could be part of this. And I said, well, you can overdub on a couple of the tracks before it came out. And he did. And but then we felt like, man, it'd be neat to go play. So we got together and did a few gigs, and all of a sudden it was like magic. It was he's an incredible accompanist, and he's a very elegant musician. He's like playing with a harp, but with all this groove and pocket and that trance thing, you know, that happens. And so we went out and started playing gigs, and I can't tell you exactly how many we did, but I'm going to say it's something like 40.
Oh, wow.
And at one point we sat down in a small jazz club and played for four nights straight. And so the amazing thing about that, when it came time to see if there was a record there, is I had four nights of us, or four shows of us, playing the same music in the same room, and I could go pick the best stuff and get a recording of us playing together that was representative of the best we could do. And that's what this is. And now we're finally, this was the perfect time to put it out. This is essentially connected to the Throw Down Your Heart project. And it's a really special musical experience in my life, and I'm just glad it's finally getting out. As well as the other Throw Down Your Heart stuff, which I just hated, is not been available for the last year or so.
So the new record is Bela Fleck, Tumani Diabate, The Ripple Effect.
That's right.
March 27th is the release date for that. I'm so glad you guys are both here. Thanks for coming by and doing this with us.
A pleasure.
Thanks
pleasure.
For having us, sir.
Bela Fleck, Abigail Washburn are my guests in the studio today. They're in town for a sold-out show tonight at the SOU Music Recital Hall as part of the One World Series. Their latest release, which came out in 2017. By the way, will there be another duo, Bela Fleck, Abigail Washburn record on the horizon?
Eventually, we just have to find the right direction. And so far, we've been focusing on raising our 1.5-year-old.
And our 6.5-year-old. Which, by the way, Ashland is an amazing place to be with our family. So thank you, Ashland, for being so groovy.
This is an ongoing project, and we have some fun ideas that we're playing with for different ways to make the next record. But we're not ready to unearth them yet.
All right. Well, we'll take what we can get for now. Will you play us one more tune?
Absolutely.
All right. What is this?
This is called Over the Divide, and it's a record. I mean, it's a song that's inspired by an article we read by about a guy named Hans Brewer, and it was on the BBC and website about 6 years ago, at the height of when we were hearing about the Syrian refugee crisis. And Hans Brewer is a Jewish yodeling Austrian sheepherder.
Okay.
And his parents had been ferried through the night to safety during the Holocaust. And so when he was hearing about the Syrian refugee crisis and that a lot of Syrians were trying to walk to Austria through the fields of Syria and Hungary, he decided to get in his little minivan and drive over the border in the middle of the night down the roads that only sheep herders know. and find Syrians and Syrian families who had walked all the way through the fields and had gotten that far, and pick them up in his minivan and drive them over the Austrian border to places of refuge, all the while yodeling and singing original songs in Yiddish, by the way. That was in a link.
There's footage that you can actually see this. This is not something we made up.
Now, Abby, was any of that foreshadowing of what I should expect from you during this?
Yeah, it seemed like a great excuse to do some yodeling in the song.
It sure did, yeah.
All right.
And we were just really impressed that he knew exactly what to do at a hard time.
Fantastic. Bela Fleck, Abigail Washburn playing live today here on Jefferson Public Radio. Their newest release is called Echo in the Valley, out on Rounder Records. Bela, Abigail, thanks for coming by. It's great to meet you, Abigail, and Bela, good to see you again.
Thanks for having us. Excited for tonight.
JPR Live sessions are supported by and recorded with Audix microphones. Located in Wilsonville, Oregon, Audix designs, engineers, and manufactures high-performing innovative products that contribute to the advancement of the professional audio industry.